Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Sometimes I quite like looking at news stories outside of the Anglosphere because it's really good to get a sort of outside perspective on our own problems, looking at the problems of very, very different cultures. And it's also very useful to see, well, if we have these problems in common, that kind of suggests that it's a problem inherent to human nature, because of course you lose the quirks of an individual culture if you compare it across cultures, don't you? So you can start to tease out what is human nature, what is cultural. And of course, quite often covering the same news day in, day out can get a bit tedious, can't it?
I do feel like the Chinese real world worker that's just standing there going, it's all so tiresome.
But one thing that really caught my eye was this story. Papua rebels kill six troops on rescue mission for New Zealand pilot. And if you scroll down to the image, John, here we are. It's a bit of a surprising one, because here you have hunter-gatherers, clearly, in very primitive dress, with bows and arrows, alongside people with assault rifles, quite sophisticated ones, with underbarrel grenade launchers.
Is he a Far Cry protagonist?
He may well be.
This looks ridiculous.
But it made me wonder, well, what on earth is going on here? It's like, I saw this story just reading the Telegraph. I was just like, but how can you have these hunter-gatherers, basically, these people with bow and arrows and basically a loincloth, alongside people who look like sort of your modern insurgency group?
It is
quite well-equipped as well, some of them.
It reminds me of an old Patrice O'Neill joke when he said, what makes him laugh is when racists tell him go back to Africa, because when he travels the world, he knows he's American because he gets treated differently. And he said, what on earth would I do in Africa besides fight in some goofy civil war, shirtless with sweatpants and tuxedo shoes and a machete? And it's just that image of those incongruous pieces of clothing plus the weapon that we're now seeing there, with some guy wearing jeans, a wife beater vest, holding a bow and arrow with a headdress. He looks like a WWE custom character.
He does. And all I really knew about Papua New Guinea before this segment was that it's known for having lots of cannibals. Okay. So I was just like, well, that's another dimension to this story.
They're not hiring you for the tourism industry over there, are they?
Well, I mean, they do get tourists. Although, judging from this, it's going to probably put a few people off.
Yeah,
and rightfully so.
Hospitality skills leave a little bit to be desired. But
I also knew that the Papua New Guinean jungle is actually one of the least explored land masses on Earth.
Right.
As in, obviously, the oceans are the most unexplored, but on the land, lots of the jungles of Papua New Guinea, there are lots of undocumented species potentially that we don't know about. And that's probably because people like this are in the woods there. But let's have a look at this country and try and figure out what's going on here, because I think it is a bit enigmatic, to say the least, isn't it? So here is sort of Australasia and Micronesia, Melanesia and Polynesia. So Papua New Guinea is this green one there. And you can see that it's split into two halves in the middle there. So the eastern half is a free country, Papua New Guinea. And then the western half is West Papua, which is actually a province of Indonesia. And this is very important. And you see Indonesia there. That's those sort of brown islands there, among some other countries as well. Of course, you've got Malaysia and places like that that are still visible. But significant is that sort of row of islands leading up to that, because the Indonesians control them. And of course, Indonesians are a different ethnic group as well. And if we move on to this next one, which is this is a Y-DNA haplogroup map, which is actually quite good at showing the divisions in the world as most people outside of the Anglosphere see them, as in they don't have this post-racial view. Most people kind of go with the old-timey view, as it would be seen in the West, of yes, they're different to me, therefore I don't want to associate with them. That's just human nature, unfortunately. But we can see here that Papua New Guinea is distinct from a lot of the other areas. And this is normally a cause of conflict. And believe it or not, it is here as well. But before I get into some of the details of it, it's also worth mentioning as well that I did this series. This was a sub-series of contemplations where I looked at the origins of humanity. And I look at lots of things, maps of DNA and things like that, to understand the story of how humans came to be as they are today. I was going back millions of years all the way to the present day, and I was very pleased with how it came out, actually, because I'm not necessarily an anthropologist, but I did a lot of evolutionary psychology, which fed into my interest here and hopefully allowed me to explain human development to a degree that I'm happy with, at least. So let's move on to some facts about Papua New Guinea. So there are still tribes that practice cannibalism there, it seems, at least on the independent side. We don't know about West Papua because it's so shut off. I mean, the Indonesians have shut off their internet access. They've got foreign media blackout there. So if you're foreign media, you're not allowed to go there at all. Only Indonesian affiliated media is allowed to go there. So we don't really actually know that much about what's going on because the Indonesians are keeping it that way. There are 1,000 different cultural groups on the island of Papua and 851 different languages, which is loads, isn't it? So it's still very tribal in a sense that isn't really common even in places like Africa. You might have it to a certain extent in, say, the Amazon rainforest, where you have isolated tribes that are so far away that they can maintain it. But to have this level of linguistic diversity, it's like your very own Tower of Babel, isn't it?
Yeah, so the inability to communicate and mediate conflicts between said tribes because you don't even share the same language was probably a factor that has inhibited their cultural development over time. So perhaps there might be a lesson here about...
Completely unrelated. They have the second highest crime rate in the world. Second only to Venezuela, which is basically a failed state.
Yeah, where they're eating their own pets. So... We might learn how putting incommensurate cultural groups together might lead to conflict.
Yeah, I mean, there are lessons to be learned here, aren't there? It's also a pretty hostile environment, just more generally.
Really?
The actual environment is hostile.
Oh, right, okay, everything's trying to kill you.
Even the birds are poisonous. I'm not even joking, they have poisonous birds. It's like, I've never heard of that, but yeah, apparently they do.
I don't think there's going to be a place worse than Snake Island.
But this news story was circulating relatively recently. This was only 3 days ago, as of the time of recording. But a man tragically died on the Kokoda track in Papua New Guinea, which is a track that was walked by Australian soldiers in World War II fighting the Japanese. So it's quite significant. But it's also known for being notoriously very, very difficult. And I think that this lends to that. That yes, if people are dying walking the track, it's probably not an easy, hospitable place for you to go for a walk, is it? It's not like the Appalachian Trail. I know that's very long, but you're probably not going to die on it unless you're exposed to the elements. You've gone unprepared.
I feel sorry for his now grieving family, but what did you expect? I mean, a bit silly, isn't it? We're going to an incredibly hostile environment where the birds are poisonous. You can't speak the same language as the tribesmen who will shoot you with a bow and arrow. Bit silly.
Yeah, it's not the safest place to go. They did rush him to hospital, and unfortunately it was too late for him. But this just paints a picture of the environment that they live in. The entire country has a GDP of $25 billion, which is the same as Prince Charles III's property empire. If you move on to this next article, John, here we go. So yes, Prince Charles could, in theory, if he sold his property empire, buy the whole country if that were possible.
Are you signing on to Cole's plan to move us all there?
Well, after reading up about the place, I don't want to go there.
No, I
think I'm all right.
I'm not keen. I don't want to do an exchange program with the natives, no matter how bad London is getting.
Mm-hmm. So apparently, according to Human Rights Watch, over 40% of the nation lives in poverty, which, judging from those figures, seems to be the case, right? How could they not?
Socioeconomic factors, I'm sure.
It's also worth mentioning that even the Chinese-owned TikTok registered annual profits of $25 billion. So they're making profits annually that are equivalent to the entire country's GDP. So, of course, this is Papua New Guinea, the independent state. It doesn't include West Papua, which is a province, but you can't get data for it individually because, again, controlled by Indonesia. Indonesia is causing a lot of problems you want to understand the place.
They could only buy half a country. What a shame. No, bad idea.
But it just gives you a frame of reference, right, of the level of poverty that goes on there. It also has the world's third largest rainforest, and it has 1% of the world's total land area, the whole island, but 3% of its species. And I saw this while I was doing the research. Frog that looks like bird poo discovered in Papua New Guinea. And if you scroll down, no wonder they didn't find it, though.
It's kind of cute, actually.
They're discovering new species there all the time because, believe it or not, it's very dangerous to go there. So I wanted to look into some of the history of this seemingly complex conflict to understand this situation of the New Zealand pilot being held hostage by this very strange, disparate group. So it all starts in the 19th century. Both Indonesia and the entire island of New Guinea were under Dutch control. So unfortunately, this is a legitimate thing where it has its origins in colonialism, but we weren't bad, so it's all right.
Yeah, but were they particularly developed before the Dutch showed up?
No, but it's the withdrawal that might be the problem. Although I don't think, you know, the Dutch are responsible for this going on. I don't think that's fair.
I don't think the Dutch invented 800 languages.
No, they didn't. One's bad enough.
Yeah.
So Indonesia's independence from the Netherlands was agreed in 1949, so post-World War II. West Papua was still under Dutch control at this point, so it wasn't their province. But Indonesia launched an armed campaign to end Dutch rule there in 1961, and with US support, they were allowed to take control in 1963. So the US interfered and allowed the Indonesians to invade an island that they had no claim to. They have no shared ethnicity. Mm. It was basically a land grab. But of course, this was in the throes of the Cold War. And the US wanted to be like, well, you can have that if you side with us against the communists. So there is certainly a case that the Americans made this worse.
American imperialism? Well, I never.
Mm-hmm. So perhaps more egregiously is that in 1969, a UN-mandated vote was held to confirm Indonesia's sovereignty over West Papua, the western half of the island. And this was to make it a formally recognized province of Indonesia. But the vote was criticized by the fact that only 1,222 Papuan leaders were allowed to vote on the motion. And these leaders were selected by Indonesia.
Right.
So, I mean, is that really democracy?
I think that's a very free and fair election, Josh.
Yes. So, as you can imagine, after this clearly unjust thing happened, there was a pro-independence insurgency group that was formed because, of course, the world's geopolitical structures just said, yes, they can just legally annex your island. There's nothing wrong with that. Basically threw them under the bus. So the West Papua National Liberation Army is the most prominent one, which you see here. And they have been in constant conflict since 1969 with the Indonesian military. And they basically kill on sight any Indonesian they see. So they see them as their enemies because, of course, this is largely an ethnic conflict. Mm. And I actually saw lots of footage of Papuans talking about it in very much those terms that if perhaps Europeans were saying, oh, these people have invaded my homeland, they have no claim to it, we have no culture, we have no shared ethnicity.
They'd get a BBC hit piece written about them?
Yes, but in this case, no. In fact, Australia's national broadcasting company did a very sympathetic piece about them, even though they've been, you know, implicated in lots of bad stuff as well. So for some reason, there's a double standard here where if it's them, it's fine. If it's us, well, that's terrible, and we get put on a list somewhere.
Yeah, but it's the romanticism of noble savagery, isn't it? Even though they look like the cast of the sequel to Who Killed Captain Alex?
So Britain, Australia, and Germany occupied the neighbouring eastern half of Papua New Guinea until 1975, and then it became its own independent country, free from interference. So I feel like that side of the island got quite a good deal in that, you know, they've not been interfered with, they've not been invaded, although they were occupied until the mid-70s. So just to prove that I'm not sympathetic to these groups either, there are no good and bad guys in this. There's only bad guys, really. The West Papua National Liberation Army kidnapped 26 members of the World Wildlife Fund who were on a research mission in 1996, and they killed the two Indonesians in the group and kept the remainder of the people who weren't Indonesian prisoner for 5 months, and then eventually released them, presumably because they couldn't get ransoms or there was some sort of logistical problem there. It's not entirely clear because a lot of the information about this place is difficult to get, because not only is it so isolated and underdeveloped, it's also being suppressed by Indonesia. So West Papua was granted special autonomous status since 2001. And this was just an effort by Indonesia to try and placate the rebels, which didn't work, because in 2009, this group attacked a convoy of buses. I think it was 16 buses carrying gold miners, and they killed two people and injured five. So they're just carrying out basically terrorist attacks at this point. I mean, they would characterize it as being freedom fighters, but I don't think gold miners should come into a conflict, really. They're innocent people, aren't they? Of course, they would characterize it as, well, they're taking our resources that they're not theirs to take in the first place. But it depends where you fall. But the violence has been escalating since about 2018. And then the military intelligence chief for West Papua, the Indonesian intelligence chief, was shot dead by separatists in 2021. And this has led to an even greater escalation, where there have been retaliatory attacks against the Liberation Army from the Indonesians and vice versa. So it's been becoming worse and worse. So it's also worth mentioning as well that West Papua has a population of about 5.4 million. Obviously, estimates are difficult because it's massive jungle, right? But the indigenous Papuans, who are Melanesian ethnically, and thus distinct from Indonesians, are now thought to be outnumbered by the settlers of other parts of Indonesia. So they've had people who are from a different ethnicity basically outnumber them in their own country and push them into what could only be talked as vigilantism and that sort of thing, and active sedition.
So mass migration has caused an uptick in violent crime, cultural incompatibilities, and is causing essentially a race war to break out in the country.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Lessons to be learned here, I suppose.
Yes. So the European Strategic Intelligence and Security Centre estimated that about 450,000 soldiers, insurgents, and civilians have died in the conflict since it began in the 1960s, which is, you know, huge. Nearly 500,000 people have died. No one talks about it, of course. No one mentions the Western parallels either. But yes, it's also worth mentioning as well that the UN that helped create the situation in the first place has also said that the Indonesian military have carried out numerous human rights abuses. So it's been proven that they've been killing children, disappearing people, torturing people, and enforced mass displacement of the native population.
Right. So Indonesia, who have just become the West's favourite new province and hosted the B20 summit, where they said they're going to subject us all to vaccine passports, are actually a genocidal state.
Well, it seems like it, yes.
Great.
At least according to the UN. But I've seen the videos of them unearthing mass graves. So it's pretty given. Yeah. And another element that's worth mentioning is that Indonesia is majority Muslim and New Guinea is majority Christian, which adds another dimension to it, doesn't it? I think New Guinea is actually 95% Christian,
right?
With the remaining percentage being sort of native practitioners practicing their own tribal religions, which I think still colours their flavour of Christianity in much the same way that, you know, Celtic things coloured Western European Christianity for a certain amount of time. So there's still an element of that. They've not necessarily just given up their cultural practices, but I think that the Indonesians might perceive them as, you know, not only are they barbarous people, I mean, the Indonesians refer to them as monkeys, which is a bit of an outdated term in the West, isn't it?
Yeah, but they're also blasphemers to be crushed under the heel of Muslim conquest.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. I mean, make of that what you will. But to actually explain, with the context that we now know, what's going on here, this pilot who crash-landed accidentally, obviously, you quite often don't crash-land on purpose, has been held hostage, and they've insisted that they're only going to release him when Papua gains self-governance. So they're using him as a bargaining chip.
Right.
And they say, this is a direct quote from a spokesperson from the group, "If New Zealand and the Australian government don't want to respond to our demands, we will not release him, but he will stay with us and we will ask him for training for our young people, training for flying." So supposedly he is going to be kept against his will, but they're not necessarily going to be abusive. They're going to try and say, well, if you're here, you may as well help us learn to fly.
This is going to be a film in about 20 years or something.
I'm sure it will be, yes. Right? Yeah. And they have insisted multiple times that they're going to treat him humanely. I mean, whether we believe them or not is another thing, but I think they have a vested interest in doing so, because this is bringing a lot of recognition to their cause. Hmm. So the Indonesian army sent a sort of corps of about 30 people who are stationed nearby where he was captured, because they have military outposts in the island of Western Papua, and they have permanent people stationed there because, of course, there's unrest all the time and has been for a very long time. They're basically an occupying force, aren't they? So they deployed these soldiers, and supposedly the news is that 6 are dead and about 30 are missing of these soldiers. Supposedly some were ambushed and shot and the others fled. So the rescue mission has already failed for this gentleman, unfortunately. And now they've taken a position after this attempted rescue that all foreigners, the US, EU, Australians and New Zealanders, were now fair targets to be captured and used as bargaining chips, because previously this was not the case. And so it seems like this escalation has made them rely on, I suppose, what you can call more desperate tactics. But the justification for this from the West Papua National Liberation Army is that those countries have supported Indonesia's rule by sending weapons and training soldiers over the past decades, and they turned a blind eye to Indonesia's oppression in the region, as well as, of course, allowing them to take it over in the first place. Which, you know, I can somewhat understand, because there is evidence that Indonesia has been abusing the native population. And it's just something that I thought was quite harrowing, because what started off as like an unusual story that was quite quirky has turned into a depressing commentary on human nature, that yes, given the opportunity, human beings will capitalize on ethnic and religious differences to get resources, because of course Western Papua has one of the largest gold mines in the world, and has lots of things like palm oil, lots of crops, lots of valuable natural resources that the Indonesians will want. And so it's clearly just they're clearly laying claim to it to extract the resources. They don't care about the people, as a West Papuan said, they want the land and the people are just in the way. And I think that that's a fair assessment of what's going on here, because that is what is going on. And I wanted to just draw attention to this, because there are lots of things going on in the world that are quite horrific. If this were going on in a Western country, we would be decrying it to an extent that we see the Ukraine-Russia coverage in the mainstream media. But no, because it's out of the way and a problem that we've helped create, we're not interested. And I think that actually, if we want to be moral people, we need not necessarily to get involved in a military sense, but there are things that can be done in a diplomatic sense to alleviate these sorts of problems. And I think that their Western Papuans, although I don't agree with their methods, certainly have a claim to be independent from Indonesia, because Indonesians only took over in the late 60s. They got no claim to the land, and it was granted to them as basically a bribe to keep them on side with America. I don't think that's fair. The Papuans certainly didn't have a say over it, really, did they? And it is quite a tragic case that I thought I would use the time I have to draw some attention to.
Thanks for watching that segment from the podcast Lotus Eaters. I hope you enjoyed it. If you fancy exploring more of what we do, you can find our website lotuseaters.com and subscribe for as little as £5 per month to access all of the premium work that we do, including a recent chat that Connor and Carl had asking the question of whether Jesus Christ really was a socialist. Short answer, no. But if you'd like more, you can find it on the website. And if you'd like to find more from Connor, you can follow him on Getter at Connor @con_Tomlinson. Thank you and goodbye.